We continue our learning. We're in Kedushin Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav. This is really a continuation of the previous two Mishnayos. We spoke about metaltel and movable objects, and we said that movable objects are, although people pay for them, obviously, when they buy them, the official acquisition only takes place when you take hold of that object. So if Reuven is selling Shimon an animal, so Shimon now pays for it. If Shimon hasn't taken hold of the animal through Hagbah or Mashiach or the like, so even though he paid for it already, the sale is not a sale, and Reuven technically can retract the sale. We frown upon such a person, but nonetheless, he can do so. And that's because when it comes to halacha, we assume whether it's Doraisa or Darabon, we mentioned it's a machlokes, that most are not konos, that you don't acquire with money, you acquire by taking hold of the object. Let's say, though, you're doing barter. Let's say you're hearing what we call chalipin or chalipin. There are two types of chalipin. Number one is the chalipin where you give something symbolic, it could be a kli, less than a shava pruta, is given by the buyer to the seller. I'm giving this to you, this handkerchief, and with this handkerchief, I'm buying a piece of land. With this handkerchief, I'm buying an animal. I'll pay you later for it. But officially, the sale is a sale. That's chalipin, which is effective, or kinyan sudar, as we say. You making a kinyan with a handkerchief is effective, both on metaltelin and on karka. And it can be a kli even less than a pruta in value. So that's the classic chalipin that we speak about. We do that very often. We do that at weddings. We do that when it comes to selling of chametz. But there's another type of chalipin, really from the word chalipin, which is lahachlif, means to change or to switch, barter. So when it comes to, let's say you have people who are not paying money at all for something, they're just exchanging through barter. So one person wants to buy a camel, the other wants to buy an ox. So they switch. Okay, this one takes hold of the ox, this one takes hold of the camel. So when they do that type of barter, when does the kinyan take effect? One can make the argument that maybe one of those things should be considered the money and the other thing considered the object. And only when you take hold of the object do we say that the sale is a sale. So that's not true. They're both objects. There's no money. And since there's no money in that classic barter chalipin, so whoever takes hold of the object first, the sale is a sale and the person cannot retract. And that's in fact what the Mishnah is speaking about over here. Kol ha'nas damim ba'acher. Anything that is evaluated in money in value, and we give it a certain value, but it's now taking the place of money. So it's generally it would be money, but here I'm using an object, an animal, let's say, and that's going to serve as the money. So kevan shezacha zeh. Once one person pulls the object that he's buying, nischayev zeh b'chalifa, the other person is now obligated to give the barter, to give the other object. He can't say, well, no, all that was transferred when you took hold of, let's say, of the ox. So that was like taking hold of the money. So, and when I take hold of the camel, that's when the sale is a sale, that's the object. So, and since I haven't taken hold of the camel, you just took hold of the ox, and the ox is like the money, so therefore the sale has not taken effect, and I can retract. That's not true. What we're arguing here, as the Mishnah is saying, kol hanas damim ba'acher, when I'm using something else, an object, as money, so then both are considered like the object. Whoever takes hold of the object first, even though you want to say, no, that's considered the money, it's not true. Each one is considered an object in the sense that once one person, with the buyer or the seller, takes hold of the other one, one's buying, one's selling. It's barter. So the sale has already taken effect. Kevin shezacha zeh. Once one person is zoche and one is chayev zeh chalifa, the other one is obligated to give the object to that person. Because once, let's say Shimon takes hold of the ox, Shimon becomes obligated to give the camel to Reuven because the sale has already taken effect. Ketzad. So Mishnah gives you an example. Hechlif shor bepara. You have a case of barter where people are exchanging an ox for a cow, ocham or bishor, or a donkey for an ox. Kevin shezacha zeh. Once one person is zochen one animal, the other person has to make good on the sale and give the other one. And in fact, what practical application do we have? Well, I'll tell you. Let's say the object now has been lost or stolen, the one that he's supposed to exchange and give to the other person, it's not here anymore. Well, guess what? You have to replace it because by the moche, let's say acquiring, taking hold, pulling one animal, he is now now obligated to give the lokeach the other animal, if he doesn't have, even though they didn't pull it yet. And they have to make good on the sale. And if something happens, it's his responsibility. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us, whether chamor b'shor, shor b'para, etc. Then the Mishnah says something else. Rishus ha-gavoa b'kesef u'rishus ha-hedyot b'chazaka. Here there's a special dispensation when it comes to giving money, when it comes to hekdesh, the temple treasury. So we say that the rishus of the hekdesh, the gizbar, the treasurer of hekdesh in the Beis HaMikdash, if he gives money to buy something that the Beis HaMikdash needs, the Beis HaMikdash needs wine, the Beis HaMikdash needs oil, the Beis HaMikdash needs flour, the Beis HaMikdash needs stones, needs wood, whatever it is. And he goes to buy those things. And now what happened? He pays the money. And now he hasn't taken hold of the object of the flour, of the wine, of the stones, or whatever it may be yet. And now the person who's selling the wine, the flour, etc., says, you know what, I decided not to sell. Doesn't work that way. When it comes to hekdesh, rishus hagavoa b'kesef, when it comes their ability to take something into their possession, that's effective through the giving of money. That is, that's a special halacha when it comes to hekdesh, that the sale is done through money. Once the money is given, even if you didn't take hold of the object, the other person is obligated to give you the object. But a rishus ha-hedyot b'chazaka. But if an ordinary person making a kinyan, as we know, has to be done through some type of chazaka. Chazaka is just a general word here. What we really mean is hagbah, mishicha, and those types of things. And as opposed to kesef is not going to affect the sale. Obviously, people may want to pay for it, but only when you pick it up. That's when it comes to a hedyot, and hekdesh has a special halacha that kesef will affect the sale. And then the Mishnah concludes, amiraso legavoa, kimisiraso lehedyot. A person's statement regarding gavoa, regarding giving something to hekdesh, is equivalent to when it comes to making a sale or a transaction where you give the object, which means just saying something that I'm giving to hekdesh, or is now that obligates me. So a person says, shor ze ola. This shor is going to be a carbon ola. Bai ze hekdesh. This house of mine is going to be hekdesh. Hekdesh acquires it wherever this object is, and the makdish cannot retract because he said it already. Saying it for hekdesh is equivalent to giving it when it comes to an ordinary person. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Zayin. Kol mitzvas haben ala av, anashim chayavin, minashim turos. All mitzvot that are placed on the father, that our father's obligated to do for his son, like a bris milah, a pinyon habein if he's a bechor, or to teach him Torah, teach him a trade, to marry him off. So this is a halacha that's only on Hashem chayavim, only men are obligated to do so, only the father is chayav. Venashim turos, and the women are going to be exempt. Why is that so? Well, if they're not, so the Gemara's general rule is, if they're not chayav in these mitzvot themselves, so therefore, they're not obligated to perform these mitzvahs for their children. So, for example, women are exempt from Talmud Torah based on the pasuk v'limatem osomis b'neichem lo b'doseichem. They fulfill a mitzvah if they learn, but they don't have an obligation. Therefore, they can't have an obligation to teach Torah. There's no obligation of pinyon habein. Therefore, they don't have an obligation to be poder their sons. They have no obligation to bris milah. Therefore, they have no obligation to give a bris milah. So that is the general rule of the Mishnah. Bavachol mitzvahs ha'av ha'labein. But any mitzvahs that a son has to do for the father, which includes mora, which is a yira, which is fearing, ishim of evitiro, person can't sit at his parents' place and can't contradict them and the like, and kibud, which are people, we escort our parents in and out of the home, and we help them get dressed if they need and give them food if they need. So echad anashim ve'echad ashim chayavim. Then this is an obligation both on men and on women. V'chol mitzvahs aseh shazman grama, any mitzvah that is time-bound, that is literally caused, it is caused by time. Time is what brings, what generates the mitzvah. Like shofar, sukkah, lulav, and the like, anashim chayavim, v'nashim turos, and women are exempt. Where do we learn this from, that women are exempt from mitzvah, aseh shazman grama? We learn it from tefillin. Tefillin is really the paradigm. Tefillin is a mitzvah that women are part to from, which we'll explain why in a moment. And tefillin, since tefillin is a mitzvah only 6 days a week and not on Shabbos, not 7 days a week, according to another opinion, it's not even a mitzvah at night. That's also a debate. But either way, it's certainly time-bound. It's not 24-7. So since women are pater from tefillin, and tefillin is zman grama, it's all dependent on time, women become pater from all mitzvahs, I say, shaz zman grama, that are time-dependent, that time causes the mitzvah, time generates the mitzvah. Why are they pater from tefillin, though? How do I know that? So that I know because of the juxtaposition of the mitzvah of tefillin to Talmud Torah. In the first paragraph of Shema, Bishinyan tam levanecha v'dibar tabam, etc. And then we say, Ukshar tam le'os la'yadecha v'ilutot tofos b'inenecha. Whoever is chai of that smichus, that juxtaposition teaches us, whoever is chai in Talmud Torah is chai in tefillin. Whoever is pater from Talmud Torah, which is women, they're pater from tefillin. And since tefillin is man grama, they become pater based on the tour from Talmud Torah, really from all mitzvos asei shas man grama. But v'chol mitzvah sasei shelo asman grama. But if it's a mitzvah that's not generated by time, like mezuzah, makeh, avetz, hashavas aveda, tzedaka, and the like, echad anashim ve'echad anashim chayavin, then men and women are chayv in those mitzvos. There are some exceptions, though. There are cases where there are mitzvahs are seisha as man grama, then in fact women are chayvin. You're right, they may be parted from sukkah and shofar and lulav and tefillin, but they are chayv, let's say, in matzah as an example. Matzah is man grama, it's only the first night, once a year, first night, tesva of Nisan at night. But nonetheless, there we learn from the fact that it says, lo sochal alav chametz, shavasam tochal alav matos lechem oni, that's a juxtaposition. There is a hekesh, a comparison, rather, between the isra of chametz and the positive mitzvah of matzah. Whoever is chayv in the isra of chametz, which includes women, becomes chayv in the mitzvah of matzah. Let's say the mitzvah of Kiddush Friday night. So that's the why women chayv in that. That's man grama, it's only once a week. That's time dependent. So the answer is because shamor v'zachor Zachor v'shamor b'dibur echad nemru was said at the same time. Whoever is chayim in the shamor aspect of Shabbos, which is the low tases, the negative commandments, the 39 malachos, are chayim in the positive commandment of zachor, of reciting, declaring the kiddush of Shabbos, which is kiddush. And then the Mishnah says, v'chol mitzvos lo sa'asei, bein shahazman groma, bein shalo hazman groma, echad anashim ve'echad anashim chayavin. But when it comes to negative commandments, women are chayav in all negative commandments, except chutz of three, mibal tashchis, which is lo tashchis, eis ba'as zikonecha, the cutting off of the beard, and uvalt, and we learn the Pasuk teaches us zikeinecha lo zikanishtecha and baltak ubaltak. If the Mishnah says lo takif ubas roshchem, that's the cutting off of the peos. Women are not chayv in those negative commandments. Ubal titami lemesim, and the prohibition of a kohen, or in this case a bas kohen, of coming in contact with the dead. And more ala kohen bnei haron lenefesh li tamav amav. We learn bnei haron v'lo benos haron. So women, even though she's a bas kohen, can go to a funeral, can come in contact with the dead. There's no problem with that lotase either. How do I know, though, that women in general are chayav in all lotases except these three, but in all others, even though they're time dependent? Because of the pasuk Bamidbar Parakei ish o isha ki yasu mikol chatos ha'adam. So you see, hishva hakasav isha leish lechol onshin shabatorah. The Torah compares men to women, ish o isha, regarding mikol chatos ha'adam, regarding sin, and therefore all negative commandments besides these three, because of a special gzeras hakasav, women are chayav even if they are time dependent.